I do have a thought. I'd like to start with the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. A little story here I'd like to look at. 17th chapter of 1 Kings. Where do I want to pick this up at? Let me see. Maybe the 10th verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. No, you know what? I need to go back to the 8th verse. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now this is an interesting story. It's a familiar story. It's a very interesting story and a number of facts and things that I want to look at and make a point of. Overshadowing it all, I want to look at remember the circumstances which this happened in. There was a famine in the land. And I want that to be in your minds because it's important. There was a famine that was in the land. And I don't know exact definition, didn't look it up, of famine right off the top of my head. But famine is a situation that touches your needs, not just your wants. People think they're in a famine when they don't get what they want. Well, you're not in a famine when you don't get, that's not a real famine. If people think they're in a bad way when they really ain't in a bad way. There was a famine in the land here, and I want to make a few points about that. One being particularly that famines will probably come to all of us. In some way or another, as we live life, we're going to deal in the idea of famine. And especially if you think about it in the sense that you don't get what you want. You're going to be especially famine, but there's going to be famines many times that get down to what our needs really are. And there's only one that can really meet our needs. Brother Sammons used to say quite often, he told me a number of times, he said, I don't understand people. Said, right when they get till they need the Lord the most is when they run off. Every time people leave when they need the Lord the most. Said they should be running towards the Lord, not away from Him. And in time of famine, it's important that we have the right heart and right mind in the famine. And in that, because we need the Lord for the famine to take care of the needs that we have. We're all going to have needs. There is needs, and I want to touch on this. Because we're not necessarily talking today that there's going to be a famine that we don't have enough to eat. There's people in the world that don't have enough to eat. But right now, where we're at, that's not the case. It isn't a famine of bread. It isn't a famine of having the needs. And I mentioned up home, I got plenty of clothes. I used to make fun of my wife because she had all these shoes. And she started finding me these shoes, and now I've got shoes. I got old tennis shoes, new tennis shoes. I got old boots, new boots. I got casual shoes. I got dress shoes, and then I got more dress shoes. I got black dress shoes, brown dress shoes, then another pair of black ones and another pair of brown ones, and I've got shoes, and I got all those things, and I don't need them all. If I only had one set of shoes, well, I'd run them thin, I'll tell you that. I'd wear them out, but that's what I'd wear. And I wouldn't consider myself in a famine because I didn't have... We have a lot, folks. There's no famine of clothing. You can go with almost no money and dress yourself today. If you wanted to, you could probably fully dress yourself at one of these Goodwills for a couple bucks if you wanted to do it. I'm just saying, we have an abundance in our world today, an abundance of things there, so we're not in a famine-type place like that. But do you know famine's more than that? There is a famine in our emotions sometimes. Have you ever got to the place that you don't know what to do? Have you ever got into a place to where the things that you need to fulfill you in life is not fulfilling you? Have you ever got into a place that even with all, you eat plenty, you have clothes, you have all these things of necessity, and yet you look and you're not satisfied, you're not happy, things ain't going that way? Of course, I think we all run into those kind of places. Well, here's the story. The Lord said to Elijah, I'm going to take care of you. That's why there's a famine in the land. You prayed for it. You prayed for it, you got it. Here's the famine. I'm going to take care of you. Now, wouldn't it be in our human minds more logical that the Lord would have sent Elijah to a wealthy merchant person? I mean, surely somebody stored up some stuff. I mean, there's people that had things. There was people of that time. Obadiah was an overseer of the stores. He probably had that. He didn't say, I'm going to send you even to an Israelite. I'm not going to send you to a Jew. I'm going to send you to a widow woman. Well, right off, you could have said, Lord, there's a famine. There's a famine and you're going to send me to... But he said to Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman. Now, I don't think the command in this scripture is the way we think of command. There's a different meaning for that because this widow woman didn't even know it. So she didn't hear the command of the Lord and saying, got a prophet coming and this is what I want you to do. It wasn't even a situation like that. What he actually said was, Elijah, I have prepared a widow woman. Well, how did you prepare her? She ain't got nothing. I got one because I know she's willing. And I know she's able. She's able and willing in the middle of the famine to do what I want her to do. You know, that's very important to us in our faith. We need to live by faith. There is no famine to God. God isn't ever in a famine. He isn't ever short of anything. God isn't ever short of having what we need or an ability to get it to us. He proved it to Elijah in a number of ways. You need food, I'll send one of my servants. I have commanded a raven to go get you food every day. And I'll put you by a brook and make it bubble. I'll make water come out of the brook even though it's dried up everywhere. It's going to continue to have water for you. Like, I can do this for you. So I have commanded a widow woman because I know that there is just a little bit of meal left in her pot. And there's a little bit of oil in her pot. I don't need that. I need her willingness And so I'm going to send you not to somebody. You know, he could have sent Elijah to somebody that had a storehouse full that said, Elijah, I ain't giving you anything. You're not getting anything here. But he said, I've commanded this widow woman to for you to go, and she and you'll be sustained. You're going to be sustained right there. What faith we need. We need to have faith in God when it doesn't look like it. When it doesn't look like there's enough, there's enough. The faith that we really need in the Lord is one in the Lord and not into the things that we, or circumstances that we look at. We look at the circumstances and say, we're going to be hungry. But if we look beyond that to God, if we look at the situation, it won't work. But we look to God, He's able to do that. And the Lord has always been glorified by these things in our lives, not the great things or our self-sufficiencies. And those kind of things. So, Lord, help us in our faith today. Because when famine comes, you can get by on a little bit of faith. You can get by on a pretend faith, or you can get by that until the famine comes. When the famine comes, you're going to have real faith in God. To be able to get what the Lord has, you're going to have real faith in there, because what the human mind would do is the impression comes, or the Lord says, I've commanded a widow woman, she ain't got anything. It don't make sense. That couldn't be God. It can't be God, because I ain't going to somebody that got something. No, faith says, I've commanded the widow woman. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, I want to make another point here. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. This is an important part, I think, of this story. You want somebody to get something done, get somebody that's busy. They're busy for a reason. Because they do stuff. You know, there is a part in the famine for us too. There is a part. There is a seeking. There isn't just a stopping. I appreciate the heart of the woman that he commanded. That he prepared. That he gave to Elijah. That he had there that he knew. Because we live in a society of blame. We live in a society that, if I'm not what I'm supposed to be, it's your own fault. How many times I've run into people that's not what they're supposed to be, that says it's the church's problem. It's if the church is this way, or the church is that way, or the minister's this way, or brother so-and-so did this, sister so-and-so's this way. None of those things are valid, folks. None of them are valid to keep you from being what you're supposed to be. And we live in an excuse time to where I can say, because of my circumstances, I don't have to do these things. Why should I go have to pick up sticks when the only thing I've got left, this famine is just totally destroying us. Woe is me. Everything is bad. Everything is hurt. Here was a woman that had what industry she had left. She was still doing her industry. She was still doing what she needed to do, right down to the point. She was still doing it, wasn't making excuses, wasn't blaming the prophet for praying. I don't know if she had done that or not, or knew it or not, or how it all came about. But she wasn't blaming the gods or God or nobody else. She was in a situation, she was doing what she needed to be doing. Elijah comes and he don't have to wonder about who God's sending to, because she's out there picking up sticks. Here she is. You know, this doesn't even say, he says, excuse me, ma'am, are you the widow woman that's been commanded to take care of me? Well, I suppose the Lord gave him enough insight to step inside at the gates of the city and say, there she is, has to be her, picking up sticks, getting ready to do it, working at it, getting ready to do it. Folks, this is a pressing way. And especially in times of famine,
In the times that we are this, and listen, again, it's just an analogy. The famine that we're going to suffer isn't one of food, and of that, but it is of spiritual things. It can be a famine inside of us, a lack of needs that is very prevalent for the world that we live in. It's different. I'm going to tell you, there's an emotion. We're made emotional creatures. We're made in a certain way. And I've over the years, I've been a student of our humanity, mine especially, to look and to understand and try to see how do we work. How does this? And do you know that I can get all bent out of shape over stuff that isn't even worth being bent out of shape about? And then I can compare myself to a widow woman, and I'm bent out of shape because something at the house don't work, and I have a house. And it's paid for. And I could say, can I say I'd be more happier without it? I wouldn't dare say it. No, the Lord's blessed me with this and this. But here's a woman that don't have any. She's got a place to live. She's got some stuff, but has almost nothing. You know, we're made a certain way. Just because we're a wealthy society and got all those things doesn't mean that we're wealthy inside. It doesn't mean that we got the victory over the things that we face in life. Famines come, and many times we're desperate in those kind of times. I want to say we need to be about it and have faith in God. And learn to have more faith in God. And more faith in God, because God is trying to structure us that way. He's trying to get us to the place that we can have faith in God. And you'll never really have faith in God unless your meal barrel runs down. There's things that the Lord does to help us into that kind of place. So the prophet comes to the first thing he says. I want you to think about this. Just think about yourself. Complete stranger in the time of famine. And you're out there wrestling to get your ends pulled together. And here comes this dude, this guy, comes strolling up there and says, bring me a drink of water. I say, get you water yourself. I'm busy. You can get water as well as anybody. There was an attitude here that is remarkable. The Lord said, I commanded this woman. She didn't even know it. The Lord knew this woman's heart. What the Lord knew, here's one I'm going to be able to count on. I don't know what her relationship was, and I don't know what she knew about Jehovah or any of those things, but the Lord knew that there was a woman up there that could be counted on. Right in the middle of a famine, still had an attitude that I will serve. Right in the middle of the worst times, I'm going to continue to be what I'm supposed to be right here in this time. This is the way to deal with a famine, folks, is by persevering in the Lord, being what we should. So he comes up and says, get me a what? So she does. She gets him a drink, comes with a drink, and he says, he says it graciously. It wasn't bad. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, as she was going to get the water, he called to her, excuse me, sounds like, and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread too. I need something to eat too. I don't think that Elijah, did the Lord say to Elijah what he was going to do? No, he just said, go get the widow woman. She's going to sustain me. She'll do it some way here. Well, I guess he did, because he said the Lord said that the meal barrel wasn't going to run. It's going to work out for you. Well, then the woman, there's no blame or anything like that. She just states the facts. She says, I'm going to go and get my meal and my oil, and I just got a little bit left. And I'm going to make a cake for me and my son, and then that's it. That's the way the fates worked out for us. That's the way it's come down to it. And this is what's going to happen to us. And Elijah says, no. No, you make me a cake. And the God, the living God, has said that the meal barrel will not waste, and neither will the cruse of oil. And we're going to do it. Now, I'm going to just ask this, and this is a real story of real people. Would you believe that just from a stranger? Well, now, give me your credentials here. Who are you? Some witness to some... I mean, folks, listen. God deals with each one of us in our lives. You imagine going and saying, sounds good. And taking out what it took, making a cake, and saying, what about the next time I need to? And I just took out. What about the next time? The next time it's time to make a cake, you got to walk to that barrel and get meal out. And she goes and, well, there's enough to make a cake. You think the barrel was full? I mean, you think the crock was full? Why not? Why not? Why all that? Why not have... The Lord says that, says, now you do it and the pots are full. She walks over and says, well, it sure enough are. That was a good deal. I'll make you cakes as long as you stay here. As a matter of fact, stay long, I'll get more pots. Later, there was a deal like that. Hey, you want to give up a pot? Why didn't the Lord just, can he not do that? Well, why all that to start with? Why wasn't the first time she went, it was full? You know, because God's got ways and the Lord's trying to do something. That's why. And the Lord can do all of that in the middle of the famine. But that's not the way it works, folks. You go every day. You go every hour. You go every time to a pot that has a little in it. And you learn. You learn. You believe. You have faith. You are confident. You know, I think that as long as she did that, I can't help from thinking this, that the last time, or the time she went, and there was still a little there. To my mind, I know you have to give me liberty for this if the scripture don't say it, but to my mind, she's scraping it and getting enough, and she scrapes and gets enough. But you never know, you know you don't get it all. There's a little bit left here and there, and so when she goes back, she thinks, can I scrape up enough? Can I get enough? And she goes and she gets her, and she scrapes up, well, there isn't, there's more than I thought. And she gets enough, and then she comes back again, and she scrapes again, and she, I don't think she ever just, it's full now, it just keeps getting big and full. No, she just, when, they're just, well, there's just enough oil again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and it become, I'm going to get some meal. And scrape enough. I'm going to go get what I need. I'm going to go get what I need, having faith in God. God has what we need. What we get hung up on so many times is, as I look and it's empty. It's empty. I've exhausted it. There isn't anything but some remnants left, and it's all that's left, folks. God always has enough. He always has enough. It's not always looking to how big things has to be. God works in the impossibilities of life. And so the situation, that the hardships, the troubles, the things that come, we can put anything into the famine area. How am I going to have enough emotional strength to go through this? There's a little bit of meal left in the barrel. That's the way. And you know what the beauty of this is? Why would the Lord do that? Is it torture? Is he trying to aggravate us? Why does he do it? No, he's teaching us to believe in him. And then, folks, it's like the old saying they said. I remember one time at work, I agreed with the guy, but I was about the end of my working there when I was going out, before I went out full-time in ministry. Worked at a surveying job, and there was a computer man there, and I brought some stuff to him one day, about 2 weeks before my last day. I brought some stuff to him and said, could you do this computer work? Could you do this for me? And he said, yeah, I can. But he said, I'll tell you what, if you catch a fish for a guy, you got to fish for him every day. But if you teach him to fish, he can catch his own fish. I said, yeah, I know. I know. But I'm not fishing anymore after this. Okay. I just need you to run this into the computer and do the computer work because I ain't going to be a computer person. I don't need. If I was going to stay and do that, I agree with you. I need to learn how to do it. But I'm not, so I don't need to. So anyway, he did it. But the Lord's coming to say to us, this little simple thing is just a stepping stone to your salvation. It's a stepping stone into the faith that you're going to need to die with, maybe. To face giants with. To be able to say, yeah, it was once just a little bit of meal in a barrel, but now I have an army against me. Now I have things that so be much bigger than I am. How am I ever going to be able to face this or come down to the end of my life and now I'm diseased or life changes totally until it makes many people depression. Depression is everywhere in our society today. Depression, people taking their own lives, those kind of things. It's a real thing. Do you know that it isn't just people that don't have any widow women that don't have anything that get hopeless? There's people with fine cars, fine homes, and money in the bank that's depressed because the famine hit them. And they don't know how to get help. They don't know how to go scrape the barrel to get enough to make it through. But the Lord isn't just interested in us living a life of scraping by. It's the scraping by that teaches us how to live. So here's a perfect example of where God could have sent the prophet. We look at this backwards sometimes too. Did you know that God sent the prophet to be sustained by the widow woman? But he sent the widow woman to be sustained by the prophet. The Lord blessed the widow woman with the arrival of the prophet. And the prophet is just a symbol of God's arrival. Here was a woman in a place of need. And the Lord, he said, I've commanded the widow woman. But he easily said to the widow woman, I've commanded my prophet. I've commanded my prophet to come and sustain thee. And she would have thought, I would have rather you have had the governor with the storehouse. You're going to send who? Elijah the Tishbite, he don't have any more than I have. And you're going to send the guy that don't have anything to us? Yeah. I'm going to send him so that you can learn how to live life. Because this is what I find out's true about life. Maybe it's not with you, so you take exception if it's not. But for me, I can have a wonderful day in my emotions. It's just a wonderful day. I can be in what I can have a very good. What is it called? There's a term for it. Anyway, high life. It's a. I can feel real good about stuff. Yeah, or I feel like it's a good quality day. My sense of well-being is what they call it. My sense of well-being soaring today. It's a beautiful day. Everything's well. I feel good. Family's all fine. Everything's in order. Everything's great. Sense of well-being. And for some reason, even unknowns to myself, by the evening time, I can be in a poor way. It's just emotions. It's just humanity. It's just the way things are. And to do that, what's the answer to famine in our lives? What's the answer to those kind of things? Am I bound to be depressed and all those things? You know, the Lord wants to teach each and every one of us how to go to the meal barrel. He wants us to know and believe that you don't have to see the evidence of it. You don't have to have a full meal barrel. I've got all you need. You come. Learn how to come to me. You learn how to go, and I'll bless. I'll bless in these things. I'll make it extend and extend and extend. And you know, right in the middle, I think one of the things that's most impressive to me in my life and looking at the things that have impressed me, it is not those that the Lord blessed to be so well off. I thank God for that. But it looks at those that have the deficiencies that overcome. And you look at those that are weak or those that, and they got something on hand that is a miracle. It's a miracle. How can they do it? How can they have that? How can they be at such peace? I had the privilege of seeing some people die. The saints die. I've had some privilege to be able to witness some of that right at those times. I want to tell you, there's something impressive about somebody that gets to that point and their faith is hooked. That they're not in a fighting, kicking, squirming, got to have everything left. But and first one that I remember was my dear old grandmother. She got down to the end of her life and not just shortly before she died, she remember her laying there and her raised her hand up and said, "Marty, I'm tired. I want to go home." And I'm thinking, what is it in a person that can make them so resolved? So resolved that I'm ready to lay it down. I want the Lord to come get me and take me to my eternal home. It's because my grandmother used to go to the meal barrel a lot. That's why. She was the only one in her whole area, her whole family, her whole world that believed in the Lord, that lived for God, that really lived for God. She had opposition after opposition all the time in her life, and she went to the meal barrel always, 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 and she didn't have much, you know, that kind of thing, but she lived for the Lord. And I saw that and I was impressed. I was impressed. I remember Sister Alta Bach, right before she died, the cancer, she was quite a shape, and I didn't know what to expect when I went in to visit her, and I went in there, big smile comes across her face. "Hello, Brother Marty, how you doing?" she said, big smile on her face. How do you get like that? The Lord's got the reserve for us in our lives. There is place. This is what I'm saying. When the famine comes and your meal barrel runs down, don't blame nobody else for it. Don't blame God. Learn how to get something out of the barrel, because God's got it. Learn how to respond in that famine, because when the famine comes. Here's another analogy. You remember the story of the prodigal? Young man that says, man has two sons, I think the reading starts out. The youngest of the two sons comes to his father and says, "Father, give me that which belongs to me." His father divided his substance between his two sons. And it says not many days after that, his son took his journey into a far country. And there he lived in riotous and waste. And he used his substance up. And it said when his substance was all up, it said that there was a famine in the land. Well, I want to tell you, famine always comes in the land like that. Always does. And it said that he would have eat what they fed the pigs, but nobody would give it to him. That's how bad off he was. He got to being a servant to the pigs, and he would have ate their food, but nobody would give it to him. And he ends up saying, in the middle of the famine, folks, there's no time to run away from God. And when the famine hits, it's a time to go to God. And so, but what, did the famine not hit there too? The famine was in all the land, I suppose. Maybe it was in that foreign land. Maybe it was up there too. But there's someone that's never famined. Never famined. And he says in himself, he said, I know what I'll do. My father in his house, the servants eat better than us. I know what I'll do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home where the meal barrel never runs dry. I'm going to go right here in the middle of this famine to a place so I can always get what I need. Folks, you can languish. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not take everything to the Lord in prayer. How often we're willing to linger at these places when there's enough in the barrel. It's there. The Lord has it for us. And in his story, he said, I'll go home. And I love the story. I love the idea of it saying, and the father saw him a distance off. It's because the only way to do that, he was looking for him to come back home where there was going to be plenty. And there is plenty in those kind of places. For us, I believe. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. I don't know where this comes from. My margin here says a full year. Now, I don't know if many days interpretates, I don't know. If that's interpretation, I have no idea, but it's, my margin says a full year. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, I say if there's any other scripture there that confirms that he did that for a year, but that would be pretty good, wouldn't it? That barrel's been almost empty for a whole year. It started out with just enough to make a cake, and I don't think it ever filled up. I think she dipped all of it out every time she went. If you'll give me my liberty to believe, I think she dipped it all out, except for maybe some crumbs. I think she dipped it all out every time she went. And I think at the end of the year she went, or I don't think it took a year. I think, though, that it was easy enough for her to believe that there was going to be meal in the barrel. Because after you keep getting it out of there when it shouldn't be there, it becomes the normal activity to go and get it out of there. Folks, do you know that we've become so used to stuff? The saints have become, I tell you, we've become so used to stuff that we become complacent about that sometimes. We're blessed. We have some things that the world don't have, that church groups don't. We have things that we take for granted and it just don't mean much to us anymore. We have valuable tools and the blessings of song that the Lord give us, the singing the Lord give. We have special anointing on the service. We have special blessings that there are people that outside of us that will see and tell me about it regularly. And I thank one guy recently for telling me. He come and he said, that just there at home with us few, and the singing was so powerful to his mind, he come and told me about that, and I thanked him for telling me. He said, I forgot. I forgot that there's always meal in the barrel. I forgot that it's always, I forgot we eat it all the time. I go all the time. It's just on and on and on and on. But it's God giving it to us. There's no reason for us to be wiped out in famine. Yes, famine will come. You won't have everything you want and that. But there'll always enough in the barrel. There's always enough. God has made a point to do it. Now, here's another. Well, I'll read this one in John 6th chapter of John. Another familiar passage. In the 5th verse, 6th chapter of John, it says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? Well, why would he give them to you? If you want, I mean, if you're not industrious enough to think about eating, why would you take this little boy's food? I don't know. Does anybody have any idea how big a barley loaf was? I can't imagine this little boy that had two little fishes and packing around great big loaves of bread. I probably had a little, I don't imagine it's probably just little deals of bread like this. Dad probably had it in a little sack. It was his lunch, wasn't it? I don't know. Somehow he ends up with some lunch. Did anybody else contribute to it? Young fella? I don't know. Doesn't say. I'm taking total liberty here. There's a boy here that's got, this is all food I've seen. He's got a couple fishes. Got some bread. What did they just, what is it? An eminent domain? What they confiscated for the better of the good? I mean, I don't think Jesus would have just took us. There is something to personal rights. I don't think Jesus would have just took it from him, and he's crying now. Oh, little fellow, we'll get to you later. I mean, this is a bigger deal than you. And he's sitting over there weeping because they stole his bread. I think they said, yeah, well, here's the bread, fish. But what good is it? You know, don't underestimate this in God's world. You don't have to have big things. God ain't looking for you to do it. He just wants you to be willing. I wonder if the Lord couldn't have said there when they said, well, you know, all this money, all this great money, what did he say? I don't even know how much that is, 200 penny worth. I wouldn't buy enough. Well, he could have, the Lord, why did he, what's the thing about this little, what's the thing about the fishes? God can do better than that. I mean, God could have had wagons load roll in. I mean, he could have prepared this thing to say, there's a caravan coming right over here. I have them, and here they come with great big bunch of stuff. Do you know that these miracles of feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000 were mentioned to them again and again because that was the faith builder? Now we're out here on the sea. Do you not remember the miracle? They said to him there at the woman of the well, he said to him one time, said about the Pharisees, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And one whispers to the other and says, he said that because we didn't get bread. And he says, you all remember the, why do you think I'd be concerned about bread? You all not remember I fed 5,000 and 4,000? Then they're in the ship and you say, you're worried about going, do you not remember the miracles of the loaves and fishes? This was for a reason that I took so little. It's showing you I ain't expecting you to be a miracle maker. I ain't expecting great, great, gigantic things out of you that you can't perform. I'm just expecting you to be faithful. If you'll be faithful, I can multiply everything that you have. I can multiply everything that you do. The Lord, I'm going to tell you, the Lord helps us to believe for what he wants us to do. When I first felt like the Lord was calling me to full-time ministry, well, that's no easy thing to think. I mean, you got a family and you got to support them, and it's not an easy thing to just think of doing that. And I get my notepad, my pen, and I start figuring out math. And I start doing this, comes in, this is what I'm going to have. I mean, math it up. Every time I would, it wouldn't work out. It never would work out. But that ain't what the Lord wanted me to do. The Lord started working with me before that, building of faith.
took off to South Carolina. Before I went full time, my van tore up halfway down there. North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, my van tore up down there. Transmission, flywheel, something went off in it. I'm sitting beside the road. Lord bless me. But the devil come along and was like, is that all the Lord can do? And the Lord can do. My faith was good. But I'm going to travel around and be broke down across the country. You know what happened? Got down there. And I'm not even sure. I know I was ministering, but I don't remember if I actually ministered there or not. But the saints started coming and said, oh, I understood you broke down. Here's a little bit. You know, when I got home, I went back and got the van, pulled it home, got it home, got it fixed. And when it done that, I didn't keep an exact total, but I didn't have nothing left. I really believe if I'd have kept an exact total, it would have been right down to the penny, because that's what it seemed like it was. The Lord completely paid for it. Why did he do that right down? Why did he pay for that like that? Exactly. Because he wanted me to believe. There's nothing going to happen to you I can't fix. Another time we had this van, we needed this new car. We was full-time in the Lord. We needed a car. And so brother called up and said, hey, I got a car for you. And fine, what do you need? I said, well, I only got $1,500 in it, and I'll sell it to you for that. And I said, well, that sounds great. It's almost new. And I gave $1,500 for it. Took the old van, and Brother Ken Allen sold it for me. And I just said, sell it for what you can do. You're better than I am. So he took it and done it. And he called me up and said, there's a check in the mail. That's what he told me. He said, there's a check in the mail. I sold your van. I said, well, I appreciate it and all that. I didn't even ask him how much it was. I got off the phone. My wife said, well, how much did you get out of the van? I said, I didn't ask him. Well, why didn't you ask him? I said, because I don't have to ask him. I know what that check is. She said, how do you know? Wait and see. It's $1,500. It's just what I paid for the car. The check comes was $1,500. Because the Lord, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. You don't have to have anything over. Because if you can believe in the Lord, there's meal in there. There's meal in there. There's plenty in there. You just use it. It's in there. In faith. And the Lord keeps building and building and building. At that same time, right before I went out full time, me and my dad had got this, leased this property, or got permission for this lease on this property. He was going to build a camp on it, like a hunting camp kind of a deal. And my dad ended up building this big log cabin on this property. He starts building this property, and I was just amazed, because this wasn't something that we prayed about. It was something that we was just doing. And I kept watching and feeling the Lord in it strongly. I kept feeling the Lord's impressions in it strongly. But we'd get to a certain point, and my dad would say, well, we really need to think about what windows, we're going to put some windows in that, you know, that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden somebody says to him, hey, I got these windows. I said, yeah, we were just talking about it. We need some windows. And then somebody's dad said something about, well, yeah, we need it. And said, hey, I got this sink. Well, we were just talking about it. And everything. And right down, he got, poor dad was, got, well, what are we going to roof it with? And my dad said, well, just get some roof paper, I guess, put on it. And I said, well, whatever you want to do. And my uncle comes in that week and says, why don't you put shingles on it? Well, that's a little bit more expensive, my dad says. And said, well, my friend works at Owens Corning's up there and get all the shingles you want. So he said, how many shingles you need? And Dad told him how much the footage was. And then the guy said, my uncle said, well, yeah, I'll bring them down next week. And he said, well, how much will it cost? He says, free. Is free cheap enough? Dad said, yeah, that's cheap enough. But everything just worked in order. And I actually went and started praying, Lord, why are you doing this? It's meaningless into anything that's important to me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It was something we just wanted to do. Why are you doing this? And you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to know that I can build a house if I want one built. And it was right there at the time before I went out full time. And it proved to me that I don't have to be anxious.
I don't have to worry about God can. I didn't say I ain't never. I said I don't have to be. The Lord is there to take care of those kind of things. And he wants to build our faith for those time of famine, for those kind of places to where. And I want to tell you, it don't happen just in the famine. We got to exercise this till when famine comes. And those kind of things come. We've been exercised in it. The Lord will work in those kind of places. Many times right in the famine, this famine might not be your worst one. But we need to learn how to trust the Lord in these kind of places and all the way through. This is the places that really are meaningful. The other things don't stick like these things stick. These are meaningful times. So in the story here, you know the story. Tell them to sit down, the Lord said. Set them down. Then come and he blessed these 5 loaves of barley and 2 fishes and blessed it. I don't know how that worked. I don't know exactly how it worked. Did they see it grow back? I mean, did it grow once I gave it? I mean, how did it work that I don't know. I don't really know. They divided it out and took off and it started dividing itself. And somehow I just can't believe everybody stood there and watched it blow into a great big mountain of fish and loaves. I believe that they just put it in these baskets, probably unbeknownst, and just kept reaching it. And then they got through and kept going around and doing it, and finally somebody said, no, I can't eat no more. Well, here, put it back in the bag. Put it back. And when they got through, they picked up more than they started with. But that's the Lord. The remnants was left over, was more than we thought was there, ever could be there. And that's the blessings of the Lord. So I want to encourage us this morning, and because I don't know what you're going through or what you may go through, but there'll be times that no matter what the circumstances of your physical life may be, there'll be famines in your soul. There'll be famine in your spirit. There'll be places there. And I want you to know the meal barrel ain't run out for you. It ain't run out. There is enough there to make a cake. There is enough there to get strength to be able to go on over and over, no matter what it is. Sometimes I would be willing to say that most of our severest tests and trials has to do with somebody else that's in our lives. And it will cause us anguish. It can cause us much problem. But no matter what it is in those kind of places, there is enough grace still in there. So you pray for me. I want to be faithful.